Well, good morning or afternoon or evening or whenever it is you're deciding to listen to this message. This is Matthew, and we are a verse-by-verse Bible teaching ministry. We are basically an overflow of the wash and word hand car washing business. We are a business ministry that we are located in the Powell's Shopping Center in Church Hill on Highway 11. There you can come get your car washed inside and out. Also, there on FM 107.1, you can listen to this message and others that we broadcasted this week. And you can hear those in the parking lot. We have a transmitter that transmits just to the area of the parking lot. And you can come and listen to the messages there free of charge. You don't need to get a car wash. You can just pull into the parking lot and listen. You also can go to washandword.com, where you can find out all the information about our business, about our ministry, and there we have all of the archived messages that we've been preaching. So as a verse-by-verse ministry, we're going to pick it up where we left off. We are in chapter 2 of the Gospel of John. We are covering the area where Jesus goes into the temple for the first time and cleanses it, clearing out the money changers and exhibiting anger. We looked, our last two messages were about his anger and all the aspects surrounding that. I'm not going to rehash the sermon. Again, you can go back to the website, washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. There you can listen to the old message. But we are then we looked at the authority that Jesus had. Now we're going to take a look at the remainder of the two things we looked at during this passage, and that is the reminder of Scripture and how it came back to the disciples' memory. In verse 17, it says, "His disciples remembered that it is written, 'Zeal for your house will consume me.'" You know, remembering Scripture is very important. The funny thing about Scripture, and in terms of recalling it, the Bible does say that the Holy Spirit will recall things to our memory when we need them. But your mind is kind of like a computer when it comes to the Word of God. You know, in a computer, you can bring up so many things that are on there, so much stuff that you've put in or downloaded. You know, you can bring it up to the forefront, you know, of your screen, per se. But, excuse me, the thing about a computer is you could only pull up that which is in the computer already. You know, it had to have already been downloaded or has to be there accessible. And the same thing with the Word of God. The Holy Spirit, though he can do anything, can't really bring up Scriptures that are in your mind that you have forgotten or that you can't quite bring to your, if you know, you have them, they're like on the tip of your tongue, but you can't remember them. The Spirit can bring those things back to your mind, but they have to be downloaded first. In other words, you have to have read it somewhere. It has to be imprinted into your mind for the Spirit to bring these things up. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is having the Scriptures imprinted. You know, had these disciples not already attended the synagogue on a weekly basis or had read, well, back then they didn't read it themselves, but they you know, heard it read in the synagogues, all the Old Testament and the scrolls and of the prophets and things of that nature. So they were able to remember what Jesus said. So moving on from anger, you know, we're in the part of the message here where Jesus clears the temple. And it's widely believed that there are two instances where Jesus clears the temple, once in the beginning of his ministry and once towards the end. And we know this because of the placement of this event compared to the other synoptic gospels. The other gospels have it at the end, just before his arrest, and John here puts it in the beginning. And there are some words in the two accounts of the temple cleansing that also make many scholars believe this happened twice. But either way, whether it's once or twice, and again, most likely twice, if there are two times that this event happened, then this event essentially marks his public position, you know, what he stood for. This is essentially marks his, we'll call it, his coming out party. Now, today, unfortunately, that phrase means something else, but It just means that he decided to go public with his ministry. And Jesus would have began his public campaign with his zealous mission for the things of God. And he would have also ended it the same way, which lends credence to the fact that he did this twice. And you want to know why? Because Jesus was serious about the things of God. You know, when it comes to the things of his Father, he was serious. And now we got to take that question and turn it around and ask ourselves, are we also serious about the things of God? You know, what a person stands for is the fuel and the direction of their campaign. You know, there's the race for the governor right now, and, you know, Diane Black is out there, and she is running for governor of Tennessee, but she's very vocal about what she stands for. And that is the fuel and the direction of her campaign. And that's what Jesus did here. You know, if this is the only time that he did it, let's just say it didn't happen twice, but the event here in John, Jesus is using it to establish his point of his deity, that he is the Son of God, he is God incarnate. And chapters 1 through 5, incidentally, everything we see in the Gospel of John, chapters 1 through 5, are not found in the other Gospels. Now, something else to point out, and we talked about it a minute ago, is the remembrance of Scripture, where the disciples remembered in verse 17 that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." And that lends credence to one of today's applications. And that is, sometimes it takes a profound event to resurrect a scripture in one's life. You know what I mean? Sometimes it takes a profound event, you know, some revelation or some major trial, some type of opposition or maybe death or sickness, whatever it is, it's a profound event. And then it resurrects a scripture that you once knew or once followed. The disciples remembered what the word said because of Jesus' actions. It was a profound event that they were witnessing, and that caused the memory to come back. Oh yeah, I remember it said in Isaiah, you know, that zeal for his house will consume him. Now, the disciples, being that they remembered this, it brought back some other memories, but you know, I remember being in Florida, and we went through a hurricane, and it was raining, and it rained so bad that our streets were 4 feet high in water, and it was coming up to the house, and it was, you know, the rain was not letting up, and it was during this profound event that I began to ponder the promises that God gave to Noah about flooding. You know, it's during crazy events that we remember scriptures. When someone I love is sick, I tend to remember the healings that Jesus performed and Peter and Paul did. And the Bible says that those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You know, that scripture comes alive when I'm waiting on something. And when some other politician is speaking, I'm reminded how Balaam's donkey was also able to speak. The fact is that everything, not most things, but everything in life has a scripture that can accompany it. Did you know that? Did you know that everything in life has a scripture that, when applied, will result in glory to God, exaltation of Jesus, and the edification of the saints? But often it takes a profound event to resurrect that scripture in one's life. Can you follow? Has that ever happened to you? Now, we see this remembering principle again in verse 22, where it says, after he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he said. So, you know, it wasn't until his resurrection that a lot of things came back to their remembering, things that Jesus had said. All right, so that's three of the four things we were going to look at in Jesus clearing the temple. And finally, we're going to look at the claim that Jesus gave as far as him rebuilding the temple. Now, the claim he made of rebuilding the temple in 3 days was preposterous. He also, Jesus knew what he meant by that, and he didn't speak those words for them to, to believe that it was simply a new temple. Of course, he was talking about his resurrection and that he would be in the ground for 3 days. In fact, every time that he answered when a sign was demanded of him, he referred to the resurrection. Isn't that something? Any time Jesus was demanded a sign, he referred to the resurrection. And you want to know why? Because the resurrection, it is the apex of Christianity. The resurrection is the one thing that sets Christianity apart from all, not some, I said all religions. It's the one thing. And it's interesting is that he did do more miracles while he was in town, and people came to him. But notice the last thing here, and we'll close with this. He said that he would not entrust himself to them because he knew what was in the heart of a man. He knew the testimony about men. I found that interesting. He would not entrust himself to them. Let me ask you a question. What ministry has Jesus entrusted himself unto you to carry out? What has Jesus laid on your heart to do, to serve? How come you're not doing it? It's a privilege and an honor that Jesus would entrust to us something to do for him and for his kingdom. You know, one of the problems of raising up strong disciples when you're running a church is that they usually go on to do something else. You know, they get raised up and they go on to start their own church or start their own ministry. And while it's a problem, I put in quotations, it's the reason that we exist as a church or as a minister or as a Bible teacher. It's to raise people up to go on to do new things and to grow and spread their own wings. And if everyone who was listening to this sermon or these messages were being fed the word and they moved into ministry and they went on and stopped listening to these messages to fulfill and reproduce what God had laid on their heart, I would be ecstatic. I'd rather have one believer, one listener, and have all the rest move on to do that which Jesus entrusted them to do. So I'm not saying I want everyone to stop listening because I want the word to go out there. But remember what Ephesians 2:10 says, that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God had prepared in advance for us to do. And here, Jesus, knowing these people, would not entrust anything unto them. But you and I have been entrusted with something since the foundations of God, the foundation of time, he prepared that in advance for us to do. What a privilege and what a shame if we're not doing it. That's one reason why we started this ministry and this car washing business. We were crazy to quit our jobs. We were making $20 an hour, had a 401k and insurance, got rid of it all to do this because this was my calling and this is the only way I feel fulfilled. Now, I'm not saying that because I humbly confess of my years of not doing what God has called me to do, but whatever God has preordained your mission to be, if coming in here and listening to these messages springboards you to that fulfillment, then I will not hesitate to express my joy. Believe me, I don't want to lose anybody to false religion or false teaching or back to the world or to a church that preaches watered down versions of the gospel message. And I would gladly give up what I had just for the sake of fulfilling my high calling to preach God's word. And I would do it with a smile. Many people at this time did believe in his name. It says that in verse 23. Yet, again, he did not entrust himself to them. In other words, he knew many of them were merely there for their own gain. They saw the miracles. He knew that they were not true disciples. Remember, miracles don't build faith. The Bible says that in James, even the demons believe God and shudder. So to believe God is one thing, but to believe in him and put your faith and trust in him. Have you put your faith in Jesus today? Maybe you just walked with him so long you forgot what that means. Take a step of faith. Go and do the thing he's laid on your heart to do. He entrusts you to do it, and that is a wonderful experience. Well, God bless you, and we'll see you tomorrow at this time at 8:30 on this station. And we look forward to seeing you at the Wash and Word. Have a great day.